often around the holidays. Y'all can hear me without this, right?
Yeah.
All right. That happens a lot around the holidays. Things just don't always go the way we want them to, and then holidays can become even more depressing. And a Christian is not exempt from depression. Christian is not exempt from problems. Christian is not exempt from all the situations and circumstances that the world faces. Now, what should be different about the Christian is not that we don't have problems, because we will have problems, praise God.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, Satan is going to definitely target you and I as Christians. So we may even have more problems than the rest of the world. We may face and suffer more troubles than others, because Satan, he ain't worrying about them. He already got them. What he wants now is you, because you are a threat and a danger to him. Because if you continue to walk with Christ, then you are going, sooner or later, somebody's going to come and notice you, and they're going to want to know, what can I do to be saved? Praise God.
Amen.
And so that's why Satan targets you. And so you've got to become more word focused. You've got to come and really grasp what God's word says about every single item in detail of life. Because if you don't, you will get destroyed, praise God. The Christians that I know are backslidden are those who never took the Bible seriously. They never took it seriously. They didn't spend time in prayer. They didn't spend time reading the word. They didn't spend time listening to teachings and stuff like that. They skipped the dude out of the church anytime they felt like it. One minute they're in church, the next minute they're not. They did all these things. They didn't read books. They spent more time in front of their TVs and their video games and on Facebook and on Twitter and on all these other social medias. They spent more time doing all that, gossiping. And now there's nothing wrong with Facebook and all these social medias, because I use Facebook now. I've been using it a lot more often than I used to. When I first set up the page, I thought, you know, I don't want to be dealing with this stuff. But now I find out what an effective tool it is for evangelism, praise God. Mm-hmm. I mean, we sold more books because of Facebook. We've had visitors who come here because of Facebook. Well, they left, but at least we have them here. Don't get discouraged by that. Hallelujah.
No.
Don't ever get discouraged by that. Don't ever worry about that, because these chairs are filled in Jesus' name. Glory
Amen.
To God. Do you see filled chairs?
Yes.
I see them filled in Jesus' name.
Amen.
My faith vision. See, I'm like Superman, got these X-ray vision and these super eye rays and stuff like that. Y'all can tell I'm a Superman fan. But I got super faith vision. I see people in these chairs, praise God.
Amen.
I see people coming in late saying, I wish I had came in early so I could have a chair. That's what I'm seeing, praise Jesus.
Amen.
I ain't seeing people leaving. I'm seeing people staying and begging to stay, praise God.
Amen.
I'm seeing people coming in here saying, hey, pastor, I need a job to do. Give me a place in this church, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. You, and what you need to begin to see is what in your area of ministry, your area of life, your home, your job, your vision for yourself, what is it that you want to do? What is it that's holding you back? And then go after it with bulldog tenacity, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Don't ever settle for less than the best. Don't ever settle for less than what God desires to give you. See, you glorify God by standing on the word of God. You glorify God by regardless of what the circumstances are doing, you are glorifying God when you stand strong and you stand tall in the midst of the situation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You remember in the Bible, Jesus talked about there was two types of people. There was one who stood on the rock. He built his house on a rock. And the Bible didn't say that he wasn't going to have trouble. The Bible says that he had multiple troubles. He had winds that blew and rain and all kinds of things beat on that house. But it would not fall. Why? Because he had built it on the rock. Jesus, and what Jesus said in the commentary on that, he said, those who hear my sayings or hear my word and do them is like that man. Then he talked about another man who went through the same storms, the same trials, the same problems. But because his house was built on the sand, Jesus said, great was his fall. The reason why people backslide, the reason why, and let me tell you something. I know because I backslid before. I was back between 1997 and 1999, I was a backslider. So I'm an expert on it now. I know how it is. And I'm telling you, those were two of the most miserable years of my life, too. Why I even stayed in that backslidden state is beyond me. I mean, I wouldn't pray, hardly, unless I was in a problem, then I'd pray. I didn't read my word. I stepped down from ministry. Oh, I still continue to go to church, you know, because I got to put on the show. You know, I can't let people know that I'm backslidden. But people could tell there was something different about me. They said, Brother Troy, you know, back then I was Elder Troy, you know, but I stepped down from even a leadership position. Brother Troy, you seem to have, no, I don't have any joy in your life. Nope. What's going on? Oh, I'm fine. Until one day, a brother came over to my house, and he really began to minister to me. And the brother told me, you know, I tried to pretend in front of him. And he began to speak to me. He said, you know what? The Lord told me to tell you, stop backsliding. He said, stop. Now, he didn't say backslide. He said, Brother Troy, the Lord told me to tell you, stop being discouraged. Stop being discouraged. That was, you know, he says a few other things that he shouldn't have known about what was going on with me. But the Lord basically ministered and told me, stop being discouraged. So 6 months after that, then I finally stopped being discouraged. So that's another thing. Don't ever get discouraged when you give somebody a word from God. If they don't straighten up right away, don't think that God's words has fallen to the ground. I didn't straighten up right away, but those words stayed with me. And I finally got out of that funk and decided, you know what? This ain't working for me. Being away from Christ is nothing but misery. So I turned my life back to Christ, praise God.
Amen.
But see, that was because I had not, at around that time, I wasn't building my foundation on the Word of God. I was building my foundation on sinking sand. And my house fell. So you've got to stick with the Word of God. You've got to become Word focused. And see, I let problems, I let circumstances, and I let people discourage me. And, you know, even my wife, she was shocked because before that, I was super Christian. I mean, I was church all the time, out in the streets sharing the gospel. Weekends, me and my friends out to 1, 2 o'clock in the morning sharing the gospel. And then all of a sudden, I just drop all of it. And the only thing I do is attend church on Sunday. Wouldn't even go to Bible study most of the time. I went to Bible study occasionally because I just wanted to show Pastor that I'm not backslidden. I was trying to impress Pastor more than I was trying to impress the Lord himself. And, you know, the only thing Pastor would do is say, Troy, he wouldn't say nothing else. He would just say, Troy, I'm praying for you, man. I'm praying for you. He said, I would love for you to come back to leadership. Just let me know when you're ready. That was a kind of a blessing right there that he desired for me to come back. But at the same time, you know, I was so down and out. It was just hard. And you're going through that, and yet you don't try to have any relationship with God, and you're just being beaten by the devil more and more. But oh, I'm so glad. My Father had mercy on me.
Yeah.
He had mercy on me. He wouldn't let me go. And that's probably part of the misery, is because the Holy Spirit keeps trying to tell me and bring me back, and I'm sitting there just, you know, I don't want to know what to do with the church stuff. I don't want anything more to do with serving God. You know, that I don't know what was wrong with me, why I let that happen. But I know what you're going through, and I beg you, please, don't turn away from Christ because of your circumstances. Don't turn away from Christ because of what, you know, all the things you're having to deal with in life. Just always remember, no matter how bad you got it, it's always, always, always somebody has got it worse, praise God. I mean, I can get upset because I don't see the place totally full yet. I can get upset because visitors come and then they walk right out before you even finish the service. But then I think about that pastor in Iran who's in prison right now. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he'd rather be here in front of this, praise God.
Amen.
I know I'd rather be here than in a prison suffering for the gospel's sake. He's suffering for the gospel's sake, praise God. And yet he still continues to serve God. His wife says that he won, in the last prison he was at, he won 30 people in that prison to Jesus Christ. This man is being beaten, tortured, put in little teeny weeny cells, and yet he continues to preach the gospel. He will not deny his testimony. He could easily, all the Muslims want him to do is say, I deny Jesus, and they'll let him go. Just say, I have now found that Allah is the way, I have converted to Jesus Christ, and they let him go. That's all it takes. He refuses to do that, praise God. You talking about somebody that got problems but yet won't quit on Jesus? That man's got problems, but he will not quit on Jesus. How dare we, with little teeny-weeny things we go through, want to quit on Jesus? Because my relatives don't want to treat me right. I didn't even want to go down to, all the way down to Washington, D.C. because I knew what I was going to go through if I went down there. I'd get into the arguments again about, politics and stuff like that. And, and I could get discouraged by that because I love my family and I know they love me, but I don't want, I don't like to deal with that kind of thing. I don't like to deal with a bunch of strife and arguments and stuff. But I refuse to get discouraged because of those type of things, praise God. Hallelujah.
Turn with me to your Bibles to Romans, Luke chapter 8.
Now, y'all remember, December 22nd, we're gonna have our fellowship, and it's basically gonna be us. I'm not gonna be inviting a whole bunch of people from this church and that church anymore. Because last year we found myself having to drive and go pick up people or meet people at Toys R Us and all this other stuff. So it's just gonna be us, praise God.
Amen.
Maybe I might invite one or two others who already know their way to the house, but for the most part, it's going to be Victoria's Word Christian Fellowship. And we're going to have us a good time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're going to eat. We're going to talk. We're going to gossip. Well, no. We're not going to gossip. We're going to talk about stuff. Yeah, we're going to gospel it. There you go. See, that's why I got Pastor Mary. That's why she makes a good associate pastor. She corrects the words I was saying.
What's
that? Oh, yeah. All right. Because Mars, we got to get Tommy.
Yeah.
All right. Praise God. This would be a good time for y'all to talk to backsliders and say, Pastor wants to see you at his house. Maybe we can bring him over and get him straightened out. But Luke chapter 8. Mother, thank you for calling me on Thanksgiving. That was beautiful. Praise God. I was eating turkey and all that stuff when you called. What was that, chicken? I don't even know what it was. Anyway, y'all make sure that y'all get me some of the potato greens on the 22nd, all right? We're going to have a potato green contest, so everybody make some potato greens, and then y'all can blindfold me, and I'll taste test. All right. Luke chapter 8. Let's look at verses 12 and 13. All right, it says, let's start with verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Mm-hmm. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, mm-hmm. lest they should believe and be saved. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, we're going to go back to that in a minute, but let's look at verse 13 very quickly. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, talking about the word of God, they receive the word with joy. Praise God.
Amen.
So, see, the pastors here preaching on prosperity, they receive it with joy. Woo, you mean God wants to prosper me? When pastors here preaching on healing, they receive the word with joy. Oh, you mean that God wants to heal my broken ankle? Oh, glory to God. When pastors here preaching on victory over the devil and demons, they receive the word with joy. Oh, you mean I got authority and power even over the devil? Oh, glory to God. When pastors preaching on miracles, they receive it with joy. They receive everything that's preaching and teaching with joy. When I start talking about faith and how you can believe God for great things, when I start talking about how you can get answered prayer, they receive it with joy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then when the trials come to test the word, look what happens. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation, fall away. Mm. When the tests come, the trials come, the persecutions come. Mark chapter 4 says, for the word's sake, people backslide. They turn away from the faith. They turn away from Jesus. Why? Because they have not allowed themselves to get rooted and grounded in the word of God. You see, the word is what brings you victory in every area, in every circumstance. It's what's going to bring you to victory. See, look at, go back to verse 12. Mm-hmm. This is the reason why the devil steals the word from you is not just always because he wants to keep you from going to heaven. This can apply to Christians as well as to the unbeliever. People hear the word and they don't receive the salvation in different particular areas. See, that word saved is not just talking about making it to heaven. It's also talking about victory, praise God.
Amen.
When you read throughout the Old Testament and the Israelites talked about salvation, they were always talking about victory over their enemies, praise God.
Amen.
God was always bringing them salvation or victory over the enemies that were attacking them. That's what salvation is. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Chapter 20. This is one of my favorite Old Testament chapters. I love this, and one of these days I'm going to do a full exposition on 2 Chronicles chapter 20. One day. You know, one of these days I would love to just preach through the books of the Bible instead of just going from verse to verse. I really want y'all to get a comprehensive understanding of each book of the Bible. But that's going to be a hard thing to do. You'll take years doing that. It is my desire to even one day write commentaries. All right. Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, I don't want to read the whole thing to you because it's a long chapter. And all of it is good because all of it has some spiritual application that you can use. But basically, Israel was surrounded by a lot of enemies. Not just one, not just two, but several, praise God.
Yeah.
And in the secular world, we would say they was about to get waxed. I'm telling you. But thank God that they had a godly king named Jehoshaphat. Hallelujah. Now, if you go through Israel's history, you can probably count on one hand how many godly kings they had. Start with David. Look at Jehoshaphat, look at Hezekiah, and you're just about done, I'm telling you. Because the rest of them, Solomon, I guess you can count Solomon, but later on he fell down. Yeah, so I don't know how much I can count him. But I mean, Solomon's son didn't do too well. Rehoboam, he didn't do well. Got the kingdom split. There became two kingdoms, Judah in Israel. That's where you get the name Jews from, by the way, y'all. The reason why they call Israelites Jews is because they came from Judah. So just a little bit of history to help you. It don't really mean much, but it'll help you somehow, some way. Anyway, when you count how many great godly kings they had, it was very, very few. And thank God that around this time, Jehoshaphat was a godly king who knew how to pray. He prayed and he stood up, and he knew that only prayer was going to get him through this one, because this one was a tough one, praise God. But then we go down to verse 11, where Jehoshaphat is still praying. And he says, "Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit." So these people were coming to take away Israel's land and their property and things of that nature. Back then, when they had war, they took everything, praise God. It wasn't nice. You know, we have the Geneva Convention in this day and age, which most people don't respect anyway. But we have the Geneva Convention, in which we're supposed to do war properly. You know, for example, we're not supposed to blow up a Red Cross truck or anything like that. People do it anyhow, but we're not supposed to. But they didn't have those kind of, they didn't have no rules of war. Everything went back then. And I mean, they would kill the men, rape the women and the little girls, and they killed the boys. And if the women did survive, they became slaves and prostitutes. Isn't that horrible? Mm-hmm. First you watch your husband getting killed, and then they raping you. So it was horrible during those times. And then, you know, and you had to serve their idols, their so-called gods. So when you got all these enemies surrounding you about to kill you, you better have God on your side, I'm telling you. And he goes on to say, "Oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattiah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Listen, ye all of Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For look at this, the battle is not yours, but God's." Hallelujah. Amen. Now, you go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. You don't turn there. We looked at it last week. It says, "Fight the good fight of faith." Praise God.
Amen.
In other words, it's not your responsibility to try to duke it out with the devil. It's not your responsibility to try to fight him and defeat him. Your fight is to believe God in spite of all the circumstances that contradict his word. Praise God.
Amen.
And your fight is to stand no matter what and to declare the glory in the word of the Lord. And to remind the devil, hey, your battle's not against me. Your battle's against Jesus. So you done already lost right there. Praise God.
Amen.
And look at this. He says, "Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up the hill, but come up the cliff by Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before this wilderness of Jerel." Mm. Look at this. Oh, I love this. "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves and stand ye still." Another passage says, "Take your position." Another translation says, "Take your position." You and I today are to take our position in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your position, see, you have a position that you must make active and a reality in your personal life. See, your position in Christ Jesus, even if you look like you're defeated right now, your position is, "I am more than a conqueror." Praise God.
Amen.
Your position is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Pastor Mary was talking about that God is still on the throne and God still has power. Well, listen to me, baby. You are on the throne with Jesus.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says, "I am seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." I've been reading this classic book from 1848 called Throne Life. Man, that is a powerful book. It's dated, though. You know, I don't know how many of y'all want to read that kind of language, but it is a powerful book. This man talks about how the fact that we are on the throne with Christ and that we are above our circumstances and all things are under our feet because all things are under Christ's feet. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And so you take your position. Stand ye still, or set yourselves and stand ye still, or put yourself in the position that already belongs to you. And look at this. I want you to see this very clearly. And see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. What I want you to see that is, especially this phrase, see the salvation of the Lord. This is why the devil wants to take God's word away from you. Because if he is able to successfully take the word of God from you, then you cannot believe and be saved, praise God.
Amen.
Other translations of this, I looked at several translations, but I didn't bring my notes with me because I wasn't expecting to preach, but God hasn't had a different direction today, hallelujah.
Amen.
But other translations say, youth replaces the word salvation with victory or victorious. So what the prophet was saying here is that take your position and you will see the victory of the Lord. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
So take your position in Christ Jesus and you will see the victory of the Lord. But see, you can't do that unless you know the word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You've got to know the word of God. See, you've got to stop saying that I'm a sick and poor and begin to declare yourself, I am healed and wealthy, praise God, and rich. Because the Bible tells us that it is he that gives us power to get wealth, praise God.
Amen.
The Bible says that he bore your sicknesses and carried your infirmities, praise Jesus.
Amen.
He bore them. He carried them. So healing already belongs to you. Healing emotionally, healing physically. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible says you already have victory in your circumstances. You without a job, begin to declare the word of God, which says that he shall supply all your needs. Say all my needs.
All my needs.
And not only all your needs, but according to his riches and glory. Not according to your riches and glory. Not according to Bill Gates' riches and glory.
Mm-hmm.
Not according to Steve Jobs' riches and glory, but according to his riches and glory. How many know y'all know that God is rich?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's why it gets on my nerves, some of these people that are so against prosperity. And the thing they keep throwing at me is all the abuses that have happened with prosperity and prosperity preachers. Well, you know them prosperity preachers, they live in big houses and they drive those nice cars and they living off the backs of their congregation. Yeah, but what does that have to do with the word of God? God's going to judge them for what they do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And as if there's something wrong with a preacher living in a big house and driving a nice car. Now, you know, it's not my desire to have big houses and pretty cars and stuff like that. Now, I do want to drive a good car.
Mm-hmm.
I want to drive a car that ain't going to break down on me. I don't need to drive no junker. That's just stupid. Just in order to be humble and not offend anybody, I want to drive a junky car. Baby, you just stay offended because I'm going to drive a good car. And I'm going to live in a decent house. I don't need no big mansion. I know some of these guys, they do go overboard. But I'm going to live in a nice house. I don't need to live in a junky house just to look humble to somebody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to trust God to pay for it, not people. Yeah. So when people come to me and say, I see, you're just living off your congregation. Nah. check the books and see how much I got paid this year.
Mm-hmm.
You gonna find out. I'm living off of Jesus. I'm telling you. Oh, glory to God. But God was and that's what I was telling some folks last night. I said the problem with y'all too focused on the negative instead of focus on the word of God. You're focusing more on the abuses of these preachers than you are on the promises of God. I am not going to focus on the abuse of God's promises. I'm going to put my focus on the promises, praise God.
Amen.
I'm going to be word focused and not problem focused, not abuse focused. Never mind me what Joe Blow down the street is doing, what Pastor Joe Blow is doing. If he's abusing his congregation, I can pray for them. I can pray for him, and if they got enough sense, they'll leave and come here. or God will change Pastor Joe Blow. He'll repent and keep his church, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Which would be the best thing. All right, because we're going to win the loss to Christ. There's plenty of souls in this area to win and bring here to fill this church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But the thing is that you don't get focused on people's abuses. Stop focusing on that foolishness. Stop focusing on this and that. The devil's just throwing all, this is the devil throwing all kinds of excuses at you to keep you from receiving everything that God has for you. You've got to put yourself in your position and stand still and see the victory of God in your life. See, when the devil comes at you, when he starts throwing his words at you, you throw the word of God at him. But see, you can't do that unless you know this book. That's why we were singing, Jesus loves me, this I know because the Bible tells me so. See, Jesus can come to me personally in a vision. You know, he's done that with people many times. He hasn't done it with me yet. You know, I'm not offended, Lord. Anyway, but he has come to people many times personally. He's told them he's loved them and stuff like that. Jesus hasn't done that to me yet. He's spoken to me in my heart and told me that many times. Mm-hmm. But see, when circumstances come and trials come, then I can feel like God don't love me. When I feel like his word, you know, everything I've been confessing and believing him for and praying for don't seem to be happening, I can feel unloved. I can feel unloved, praise God.
Amen.
And see, that's what many of you are going through sometimes. You drag yourself to church, but at the same time, you're saying, man, does God really love me? Why am I dealing with this issue? Why am I going through this? I know how you feel. But listen, if you don't get grounded in this, in the fact that God loves you because this book tells you so, you're going to fall. You will fall, and great will be your fall. You've got to get into this book. When the devil comes at you and says, see, if God loves you, you wouldn't be going through this. That's what he did to Job. Mm-hmm. That's what he does to millions of Christians today. And that's why many of them who used to be Christians are out there now. The bottle is in God. Oh, my liquor loves me so. Because the label tells me so. Oh, my crack pipe loves me more. Here's a junkie at the door. Anyway. I gotta make y'all laugh. if you don't begin to understand this word, get rooted and grounded in it, and make this become your favorite thing, this book, then you really are going to mess up. And you will not see the victory of Christ in your life.
Yeah.
See, when I first started this church, before y'all came here, we started in our living room. You know, it was me, my wife, and my three children. And the Lord told me that the focus he wanted me to get on was victory in every area. As a matter of fact, that's one of my first messages that I preached to just my family alone. It was called How to Have Victory in Every Area of Your Life. And we taped it. I don't know if I still have the audios. But you know, it was kind of, at the time, it felt like I was playing church because it was just me and my family. Felt like, you were a kid playing house or something. But that was God's test right there. And then later on, I met up with Brother George, and he brought his stepdaughter and a young water bottling guy named Jorge. And then we moved downtown, just the few of us. And then things happened with my sister that I had to, you know, put the church on hiatus. But just before that, I met Pastor Christic at the bus stop. As a matter of fact, we had met several times, but he and I wouldn't talk. We just looked at each other and minded our own business and waited for the bus. But then one day I just felt led of God to talk to him. And then we got to talking, and then I became good friends, and that's when God used him to bring a lot of y'all here, praise God. Now he's moved on to a different vineyard, but the thing is that at the time, I was believing God for victory in every area. And that was, and God was, and God tested me and this ministry, and he wanted to make sure that if I'm going to name this church Victorious Word Christian Fellowship, that I definitely better be the example, and I better be walking through these tests. In Jesus' name, praise God.
Yeah. Amen.
And so during that whole period of time, I had to stand on this book. And on the prophecies that God had given me. See, we're going to talk about in a couple of weeks how through the prophecies that God has given you, you must wage a good warfare, because the prophecies that are given to you are the word of God as well, for you personally. If Pastor Mary gives me a word of God that bears witness with my spirit, then that is a word of God for me, and I got to stand on that, and I got to wage warfare with that. Many prophecies were given concerning this church, praise God. And all the prophecies that are given to you, you must stand on them. The prophecy that are given to you, Michelle, stand on them. Mars, stand on them. Teddy, stand on them. Jimmy, stand on them. Landry, stand on them. Stand on those prophecies, praise God. Amen. You know, I want to lay hands on all y'all in a moment. But I want y'all to come up here, and we're going to lay hands on you and pray over you. That's one thing I feel led to do today. So, sir, I gave you the most important announcement, so Terry, you don't have to do a job today. Just be ready next week. Praise God. But your victory already belongs to you. You need to just stand still and see the victory that God is about to give you. The victory for Victorious Word Christian Fellowship already belongs to us. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Satan always tries to set traps. He always tries to set traps to get you discouraged. Just when you think the breakthrough is coming, he snatches it away. Mm-hmm. Say, ooh, I tease you. He's like a cruel animal abuser who juggles a carrot in front of a rabbit. And then as soon as the rabbit reaches for the carrot, and that's what happens. If you allow yourself to get discouraged by those type of things, then you will not be ready, or you will never see the real breakthrough that God is about to bring to you. Praise God.
Amen.
You will never see that real breakthrough. See, we stop right before the real breakthrough comes, because just when we thought that we were in the grips of victory, then something happens and our victory seems to be lost. But if we don't quit, we don't give up. And let me tell you something. These things have happened more times than I'll never forget. When we first started the church, my kids can remember, we were downtown, we were renting another church, paying something like $300 a month, but he was a good friend of mine, Pastor Hay, he wouldn't charge me every month. One month he charged me, and then the next month he'd say, oh, Pastor Troy, forget it. He said, I believe in you. And so he wouldn't charge me, but the thing is that we was there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Most people don't want to come to church at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. and sometimes, because Pastor Hay liked to preach, and if you listen to Pastor Hay, I'm trying to pay you a compliment. But anyway, Pastor Hay could go long, okay? And so he'd go overtime before we start our service. Now, and still, we'd have people come, but they wouldn't stay. We had people come in, and a couple got saved. Gave their lives to Jesus Christ after that. You know, it was just like me, my family, and then Brother George brought in these two people, homeless people off the street, young couple, and they gave their lives to Jesus Christ. Then we didn't see them again. No way to follow up on them. We've had people come in, come and go, come and go, come and go. It can be discouraging. It can be hurt. It can really hurt you as a pastor. It can probably hurt y'all because y'all believe it, because you are here, you have stuck by this church, and you are and this church, I can from the faithfulness that I see with you guys, this church means as much to y'all as it means to me. Praise God.
Amen.
And I know how sometimes some of y'all can be hurt because you see people come in and you're saying, man, they're going, finally we're seeing it, and then, bam, they're gone, and it can hurt. But don't you give up.
No.
Not just your church, your personal life. Some of you have been believing God for jobs. Somebody promised you something, and then the next thing you know, they got some excuse. They're not taking your phone calls, whatever have you. or when they call, when you do finally get a hold of them, oh, you know, can you call me back tomorrow? And then they're not around, or they've already offered a job to somebody else. But these things are discouraging. It hurts. And the first thing you ask is, God, what are you doing to me? It's not God doing it to you. But God is allowing you to be tested, praise God.
Amen.
He is allowing you to be tested because you've got, in order for you to be tough, in order for you to do the work that God wants you to do, you've got to be tough, praise God. You've got to go through the test. Don't think that once you have that job, that everything's just going to be hunky-dory after that, because then you're going to go through some more. The devil's going to try to attack you in other areas, praise God. Don't think just when the church gets filled that everything's going to be all right, because now you're going to have you have more problems, praise God. You're dealing with people with different personalities, and right now, the way things are, you know, sometimes just a few of y'all and some of y'all issues, man, it's like, man, I don't know if I really want to deal with any more than this. it's not that, don't get me wrong, I never make a negative confession because I do want this church to grow, but sometimes I'm asking God, can you please send like more really, really mature people? You know, this is not an indictment against you guys because you guys are great, praise God. Amen. You are a great congregation. But what I'm just saying is that, you know, you don't want to always have to deal with babies and their issues and their problems. And so don't think that when a church grows that that we're now problem free. Sometimes you got large churches and they in debt. So always remember, you've got to learn to pass these tests and see the victory of God. And the only way to do that is to stand on this book. Remember, the one man built his house on the sand, he fell. The other man built his house on the rock, which is the Bible, and he stood the test of time, praise God. Amen. So stand on this book. Keep this book in front of you. Read this book in the morning. If you don't know where to start, I always talk with me and Jimmy, and we talk a lot, and I tell you, if you've never studied the Bible, start with the book of St. John. Also, get some books that help you. You know, we got books in the back, you know, that help you to understand more about the theme of the Bible and certain themes in the Bible. We'll get some books that talk about God's promises, you know, how, you know, list promises. Well, you can get that. Actually, if you read my book, Praying in Line with God's Promises, I got a list of them in the back. So if you need to claim a promise for a specific area, get that book. It'll help you. I didn't write that to make money. I'm not making money off the book. Any little bit of profit we do get, my wife take the check and put it right into the church. So it's not like I'm making any money for myself anyway. And how much do I get paid from the church? Well, check the books. Praise God. Right. Now, there's gonna come a day when we're gonna grow so large, and y'all gonna say, Pastor, you need to work full time and get a salary. Praise God. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day.
Yeah.
And y'all, and it's gonna be y'all that does it, not me. I'm not gonna come in here and demand a salary. Now, if the church grows so large and I can't handle a secular job, and y'all don't pay me, then I'm going to find y'all a new pastor. Y'all ain't going to kill me. but what I'm saying is that you start getting into this book.
Yeah.
Start confessing the word of God. I get up every morning and I confess to God. I pray. I spend a lot of time praying in tongues, praying in English, and I go through some of my confessions. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Stay with that. Go, you know, write down a list of things you believe in God for. Find the scriptures that cover those things, and then begin to stand on the word of God. If you don't, you know, some of y'all need to get what's called a concordance. You may not have one of those things. It's a nice tool to have. It helps you. And you don't have to buy the book anymore. You can download these things free online. Get yourself some Bible study tools. Put them on your computer and start researching your Bible. Start looking up promises. But nothing replaces reading this whole thing together, because sometimes we take scriptures and extract promises, but we don't understand the full message of the Bible. So read this. Have a daily time of just reading, you know, chapter here, chapter there. Read through the book of St. John. Read through the Gospels. Read through the epistles. and get a grasp of what Jesus has done on your behalf. Because all Paul's epistles tell you exactly in detail what Jesus did for you, the victory you have in Christ Jesus. And then go through the Old Testament, which illustrates what how that victory works in your life. Read through the book of Joshua and find out how Joshua stood on the word of God and defeated his enemies. Hallelujah. Yeah. When you start doing that, you will become more and more word focused. And when and things that contradict will not have its way in you. Let me share something with you real quick, and we're going to get ready to close, and I want to have you just come up here so we can pray for you. I want to pray, especially want to pray for the children, too. So in a minute, we're going to have the children come in. But listen, I was just, see, just like a couple of days ago, I'm sitting on the computer just typing up a devotion that I want to maybe put on Facebook and on the blog. And so I'm typing up the devotion, and it was dealing with the theme of victory. And as I was dealing with the theme of victory, then all of a sudden, my leg went through this nasty, painful cramp, and I couldn't even walk. I mean, just suddenly. And I mean, I'm up, I'm like, You know, the first thing I did, my first reaction, because I've been word focused, was in the name of Jesus, I don't receive this. I don't receive it in Jesus' name. By his stripes, I am healed. He carried my infirmities. He bore my sickness. I was doing this while at the same time I'm in agony and pain, and I'm walking around, and I'm just continuing to confess the word of God. And 5 minutes later, the pain finally left. Praise God.
Amen.
That was a long 5 minutes, though. Tell me.
I know.
That was a long 5 minutes, but I continued to confess the word of God. See, but that because I had the word already in me, that was my first reaction. A few years ago, I would have been, God, what's wrong? What am I going through this for? Oh, God, this is so unfair. A few years ago, I would have done that. But because I started getting myself grounded into the word of God, this time, I didn't even ask God to do anything. I took my authority in Jesus' name.
Amen.
There's a time to pray, and then there's a time to just simply tell the devil to leave you alone. You should be praying every single day, having fellowship with God. See, you know, notice how Jesus ministered, and then we're going to close out. When Jesus ministered, he never prayed. You can really read through those gospels, you're going to see that. Jesus spent hours with his Father. He would spend hours in prayer. Sometimes he spent all night in prayer. But then when people in the demon-possessed came to him, he didn't grab him and say, "Hell, Father, in my name, would you please deliver this person?" No. Jesus would come over and he would rebuke the thing and tell him to come out. When Peter's mother-in-law had a fever, the Bible didn't say that Jesus went over there and said, "Father, please deliver her from this fever, if it be thy will." No. The Bible says he rebuked that fever. In other words, Jesus said, "Fever, come out in there. Come out." See, he didn't have to say in Jesus' name because he was Jesus. We did not have to say in Jesus' name. Amen. But now we have his authority. So now I can, if Martha has a fever, I can just say, "Fever, leave her in Jesus' name." Praise God.
Amen.
This is the way I'm going to be ministering from now on. I'm going to spend my time in prayer in mornings and evenings and whatever have you, the times I need to spend with God. But as I begin to minister to people with sicknesses and with demonic problems or oppression or whatever, I'm just going to take my authority in the name of Jesus. That's what y'all need to do. All of us need to do, because it's not just only the pastor that has that authority. The body of Christ has that authority. Glory to God.
Amen.
All right. Honey, bring the children in here. Bring the children in here. I want all the children to come up.